Praise God. It was like I felt like the presence of God watching that video. But it brings back memories. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to just jump right into this because I got about 10 minutes. if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 8. And we're just going to jump right in. Verse 19 through 21. So Mark chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. Jesus said, "When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of fragments did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large basketfuls of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. And he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" How is it you do not understand? I remember I mentioned this to my pastor a while ago. I said, what does that mean? How is it that you do not understand? What is the meaning of the loaves? There were seven, 12 loaves remaining the first time, 7 the second. What's the meaning? He's like, "Steve, some things just leave it to God. We can't figure it out." I'm like, no, if Jesus is asking a question, there has to be an answer, and I'm going to figure this out. So what I've prayed about this for a long time, and what I've, after like a year's worth of praying and studying, it came in an instant, but it had to like get a press in to get it. I'm going to share with you in 10 minutes. That's a great deal. You get 10 minutes out of a year's worth of study. That's good deal. But God has a plan. He has a plan for every one of our lives. He has a plan for us to reach the lost. He has a plan, but you can't fit that plan all the time here. That's why he gives it to you step by step. So he has a plan. So I want you to repeat with me, in order to receive God's plan, we got to shut this off and turn this on. Why over here? Why the belly? Some people say, isn't God in our heart? Well, I think it's more, the Bible says, the word heart in the Greek, I'm Greek, by the way, is karthia, as the center of your being, actually. The Bible says that, Jesus says, those who believe in me, out of their innermost being, or belly, or in some versions it says heart, will flow rivers of living water, will flow from, there'll be rivers of living water. What you saw in the video was rivers. I'm not sure they were flowing from me. I think they're flowing from heaven itself, but I believe we started that fire. God used us to start the fire. I believe that was something God wanted to do a long time ago. And I believe there's things and places and divine appointments and places for you that God has prepared a long time ago for you. Believe it or not, there are a lot of people who are missing out on their destiny and their purpose. There's a lot of people that their stories that are supposed to be interwoven. Like there's people in your life that God has specifically connected you with because he wanted you to reach them for Christ. And I think there's going to be an amazing, I really believe, through the Holy Spirit, that when Jesus says that he'll wipe every tear from our eye, I don't believe that is, welcome home, what a rough life I've lived, and you'll be crying and you're finally in heaven. I personally believe by revelation that the tears that the Lord wipes away from our eyes is that we made it into heaven and we look back like, oh my gosh, I lost so many rewards. I could have came to heaven with so many crowns. I had a destiny that looked like that, but I lived this. And there'll be a moment of sadness. I think the Lord's going to let you see what your destiny should have looked like. But because this was turned on and this was off, you didn't really get it. And there's going to be a moment where you're going to wipe the tears from your eyes. There's going to be a sadness. For a moment, the Lord, you'll get over it. You'll be in heaven. Maybe you won't have as big as a mansion as the Apostle Paul or some others. But you could have. I believe every person here has the potential to do great things and to receive, it's not always the Reinhard Bunkies. And sometimes we say, look at Coco, man, he's out there doing this, and Pastor Chip in Africa, and this guy over there, and Brian Guerin, and Eric Gilmore, and all these Eva Dooley, and, God doesn't want you to be an Eva Dooley, a Stephen Coco. There's too many enough of, us around. We don't need that. God wants you to be you. If you knew who God created you to be, you wouldn't want to be anyone else. Believe me, you wouldn't want to be anyone else, because God is so great, he's so vast. There's so many different aspects of God that you were created in his image, and only you can re-represent that part of God that no one else can re-represent. There'll only be an image of God. Amen. You can give the Lord applause for that. There's only one you. Okay, God is not a duplicator God that we say, oh, I want to be another Reinhard Bunke, and I want to be he's a creator God, and he creates only originals, and you are an original with an original purpose, an original plan to fulfill right here. You have a destiny that only you can fulfill. And if you don't fulfill it, it's buried with you when you pass away. But I believe you can fulfill it. And I want to share the meaning of the loaves. I got like 7 minutes. I better get on this. All right. Mark chapter 6, if you just flip back a few chapters, we see Jesus. Jesus often tries to teach his disciples lessons without actually communicating it in words. A lot of times he tries to communicate lessons in actions. And we see in Mark chapter 6, it's a few chapters back, that they were in a solitude place. And the Bible says that Jesus moved with compassion in verse 34. Said he saw the sheep, like he saw all these people like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion, and he basically told his disciples, what are we going to do with these people? And the disciples' answer was, send them away, get them out of here. You know, we're having church, we're having a great time, we're just feeling in the presence of God. Lord, give us more dreams tonight. Let's just be with you, Jesus. And I feel that way all the time. I feel that way too. I just want to be next to Jesus. And that's wonderful. But Jesus is like, wait a minute, there's also a crowd here. There's also a world that's dying that needs our help. And he says, why don't you guys give them something to eat? You give them something to eat. Us? They were like shocked and confused, and they were having a trouble understanding that. And they were calculating, you know, how long it would take to actually feed a crowd this big, because this was turned on and this was turned off. But when you turn this off and you turn this on, all things are possible. Those who believe in me, rivers will flow out of those people. So Jesus is saying, I want you to feed them. And he's trying to help them out here. They're calculating. They're using the mind. Jesus goes back in and he says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see what you actually have. You know, and then we'll take what you have and we'll go from there. And so long story short, you know the story. The Lord blessed the meal. I can't go into all the points I could have got out of this, but, you know, the food was multiplied. How was it multiplied? The disciples took what Jesus gave them, broke the breads and the loaves and prayed for it, was given to his disciples. And I don't believe the miracle took place in the hands of Jesus. I believe it took place in the hands of the disciples. They started going out by faith, and it was like the longest walk, 100-yard walk. Like, oh boy, I hope something happens. But they went out by faith. They trusted God, and the food began to multiply as they began to pour into other baskets, as they began to give. I believe as you begin to give to this church financially, the Lord's going to begin to pour back into you. I really believe that. And we just give, we give, we give, because you can't outgive God. So they kept giving, and I really believe that as they were going, the food was growing. And I really think there's something to learn here. It's not enough just to know about God. Knowing is never growing until you get going. Amen. Knowing is never growing until you get going. You have to go with what God's given you. If we just sit there and we study the Bible, let me tell you, those who study the Word of God are always... You know, those who do the will of God always pass up those who simply study it. You can study this book until you're blue in the face. It's not going to help you. You need to put to action what you've actually learned or it will do you no good. I always say there's like three kinds of Christians. There's the chubby one, you know, that just sits there and reads the word and I think I've got a new revelation today. And they're studying and they're you know, those the chubby Christian that just eats the word of God, eats, but doesn't do anything with it. You know, those Christians with a huge Bible underneath their arm and they bang it over your head like, this is what the word of the Lord says. And they're just big, chubby Christians. And they just judge people all the time. You should not be doing that. You should be doing this. You should be in your house studying the word of God like me and doing nothing else. No. You know. Then you got the skinny Christians who are not reading the word. And they're just like you know, every wind of doctrine throws them on the ground. And they cannot. They always have problems. And they're crying. And they come to the pastor's house for counseling 24 hours a day. Then you got the strong, healthy Christian who hears the word of God and puts it into practice and is going and is flowing with what God is doing. So after this, 12 baskets, they picked up 12 baskets afterward. And then after that, Jesus, they were going on the boat. They went on a boat ride. Jesus wasn't there. He started walking on water. And they were shocked that he was walking on water. He got into the boat. And it says they didn't understand how he was walking on water. I'm not going to go to the verse because I don't have that much time. But it says because their hearts were hardened, and they didn't understand the meaning of the loaves. There's a meaning of the loaves that we got to understand. What is this meaning? We're going to get to it right now. 12 baskets were remaining that time. Mark chapter 8, if you could just flip to Mark chapter 8, Jesus is trying to teach them a lesson without actually speaking it to them. He calls the disciples to himself in verse 1. Jesus calls his disciples to himself, and he says to them, I have compassion on the multitudes because they've been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their own houses, they'll faint along the way And he just starts to pour out his heart to his disciples. I have compassion for these people. I love these people. Hear my heart. What do you guys think we should do? Send them away. And Jesus, oh boy. He's like, how many loaves do you have? Just tell me what you got. And they said, well, we have seven. You know, it says in verse 5, how many loaves do we have? They said seven. And then in verse 6, it says he placed it before them, the disciples, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and gave thanks. And then in verse 8, it says, they ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets. So we see the number 7 in verse 5, 6, and 8, and the only place we don't see it is in verse 7. So the number 7 is something very special. And then the disciples, like, we got seven baskets. Then Jesus begins to explain, and he says, having eyes to see, in verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? And then he begins to ask them what happened when he broke the loaves the first time and the second time, and they're full of questions. A lot of times we can't understand what God's doing, but we can always remember the testimonies of God in our life, and the remembering will activate our hearing, and our hearing will activate our seeing, and we'll be able to understand what God's doing. I remember once I went to California to strike my luck. I was going to work for Oscar De La Hoya, announcing, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, tonight's boxing match. I was going to do a ring announcing. And I went to California, and I went to this church, this Greek church, and I just felt by the Holy Spirit, put everything you have in your wallet in the offering. I'm like, oh, Lord, this is... And he's like, just do it. I'm like, all right, Lord, my life is yours. Whatever you want, you got it. I took all the money I had in my wallet, every cent I had to put in the offering, and I just felt a peace. I felt a joy. I'm like, why do I feel good about this? Like, this is awesome. And I felt great. And then I left that place broke. I went to a Christian bookstore. I don't know why. I didn't have any money. But I went there, just walking around, just spending some time before my interview for the job. And so while I was there, just walking around, some lady said, was at the cash register, and she said, can someone here pray for me? I need prayer. She's like, no, we don't have people to pray here. And I felt like, I was shocked that she said that, first of all. And I was like thinking, maybe I should pray for her, but believe it or not, I'm a timid person. You don't think so, but I am. And I was like, I don't want to pray for her, boy. And I just left the store. And as I left, selfish me, the Holy Spirit said, go back and pray for her. And the only reason I went back is because I knew the Holy Spirit wouldn't stop bothering me unless I went back, and I'd be feeling guilty the whole day. So I just said, you know what, forget this. I'd rather not feel guilty the whole day and just go over here and just, ma'am, did you say you need prayer? She's like, yes. I go, well, there's a 1-800-NEED-HIM. You could call that hotline. I think they could pray for you. And then she's like, and I said, no, I'll pray for you. And then I started praying for her by faith. And as we were praying, the Lord, letting the river flow, not thinking, I rebuked her on some things in her life. I don't know why I was doing that. I rebuked her. Then when I was done, she pulled out a wad of money from her purse, and she just threw it at me. And thank God she ran away, because I wouldn't have accepted unless she ran away. So she threw it and walked away like that. And I'm like picking up this money. I'm like, what is she doing? And I picked up the money, and it was exactly double what I put in the offering that morning. Exactly double. Don't tell me God is not a God of numbers. Amen. If he wasn't a God of numbers, he wouldn't have put a book called The Book of Numbers. So he is into the numbers. And so then finally, here's the final verse, and we can conclude with this. In verse 20 and 21 of chapter 8. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large basketfuls of fragments did you take up? And they said, seven. And then he said, how many the first time? 12. And he said to them, do you still not understand? What is the meaning of the loaves? There were exactly 12 disciples, and there were exactly 12 baskets remaining. That means every disciple, each person here is significant, is very important in bringing God's plan from heaven to earth. You are a conduit. God wants to use you as an instrument to bring heaven to earth, 12 disciples. And then the second time, there were 7 baskets remaining. So what is the meaning? The meaning is those 12 disciples, the number 7, what does it stand for? Completion. The pastors always know. Completion. Completion. You 12 disciples are complete with me. Because I died on the cross, there'll always be enough. You guys are complete. There's lacking. You're lacking nothing but faith. You're lacking nothing but you think too much. You're not flowing, and you're just thinking, and you're not able to experience the power of God. But you 12 are complete in me. You know, so often we're saying, oh, God, please feed the people in Africa. They're hungry. They're starving. Oh, please help them, Lord. Oh, please help the people in Haiti. Oh, God, please save my family. Save my cousin. Save my... Oh, God, please do this. Oh, God, please do that. And God's saying, stop praying for the answer and become the answer. You are the answer. You give them something to eat. God is waiting upon you to be the instrument that will bring heaven to earth. You 12, but we have to turn this off and turn this on. We need to learn to die to ourselves. We need to learn how to enter into the river of God. There's a river of God. We need to learn to step into that river and be obedient. And that river will rise to our ankle as we remain obedient, as we stay in the river and we go deeper. The river will rise to our knees. And we need to learn how to pray into the will of God and just go deeper. And as you continue to pray, the river will go even higher to your waist. You become a Christian that carries authority. Now the devil knows who you are because you've learned how to obey and pray. And now you have authority. Then the river rises to your shoulders. Then you become a Christian who carries the weight of others. Now you're able to bless people, not just the pastor. And then the river rises above your head. And at that point, don't fight the current. Don't try to swim. Simply drown. Simply die.